Hi, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and the times that we're living in right now are truly amazing times, and this upcoming election will be perhaps one of the most important in our lifetime. And so because of that, I want to give you the information and the tools that you'll need to vote your biblical worldview. That's right, Christian. We should be voting our biblical worldview, not our party, not our persuasions are not in any other form but our biblical worldview as a believer. And so I want to share with you a fantastic interview that took place with Dr. Wayne Grudem, a world-renowned theologian and best-selling author of Politics According to the Bible, a great book, and also Dinesh D'Souza, creator of the blockbuster documentary 2016, Obama's America. We've had the chance to interview both these men of God, and I think you'll find it most enlightening. You can go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. That's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. God bless you.
Today on Real Radio.
The church is to be, and how beautiful it is that the brethren dwell together in unity. The church is to be an amazing powerhouse moving in the same direction.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Corinthians, written by Paul. Now, the Corinthians, they had their issues, some big ones and some not so big ones. But among these issues was division. Unity is really quite important, you have to admit that. Never, of course, at the expense of divine truth, but once the church agrees on the essentials, then we ought not to major on the minors, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in this look at a key section of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's a lesson called One Church Under God.
A united church will have the same Lord. Will you mark that down? This is going to sound almost silly, but the Lord is concerned about, you're going to hear Paul speaking about us being united. The church at Corinth was divided. So the thing we want to realize is a united church will have the same Lord. And you might be thinking, well, Jack, doesn't every church have the same Lord? Not necessarily. Maybe in verbiage, maybe in statement, but not in action. And that's the problem. That's the danger. There is this that's going on. In verse 10, we're united in obedience. And I want you to mark that down. When Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," the word name means the authority. And Paul evokes something very powerful. The Lord, it is Jesus who is the Christ. Meaning that nobody at Corinth has the messiahship. Nobody at Corinth can create another Jesus. Nobody at Corinth is the Lord. It's the Lord only. And that's very exclusive. So he first of all says, listen, you guys, it's by this. It's by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ I'm speaking to you. Notice this, that he calls them brethren. Even though they're off track, Paul says to them, you are my brothers. But I want you to mark that word, plead. This is an amazing word. In English, we read it here because the context demands it. It's pretty spectacular. We say plead, but the word in Greek is parakaleo, and it means this, to call you near. It means to invite you over. It means to have you stand with me. If I'm going to parakaleo you, I'm asking you to join with me. I'm inviting you to go with me or to be with me or to stand with me. That's amazing and powerful. Why? Because here is Paul talking to a church that you would think this is already a settled issue, that Jesus is Lord. If you were to interview somebody at Corinth, they would say, Jesus is Lord. But their conduct was altogether different. So when he says, I plead with you, parakaleo, that word is also used by Jesus in John 16, verse 7. He says, nevertheless, Jesus does, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away or go back to heaven. For if I do not go away, the parakaleo, the helper, the comforter will not come to you, the Holy Spirit. So we know something. Paul is acting in the place or as a tool of God, pleading with them in the manner of the words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As a comforter, But guess what? That same exact word appears again, parakaleo, in 1 John 2:1. John writes there, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have a parakaleo, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." This is amazing. Because when he invites them near, he's saying, come over here. I am going to both comfort you and I'm going to argue your case. Advocate, legal term, yes. But comforter, yes. A term of endearment. Paul is saying, join me in a united way under the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's the challenge to all of us today, to join a church, not any church, not some church, join the church, which is universal in the earth by faith in Jesus Christ. I know you might be a member of some church. This is a Calvary Chapel. There's people who are from all kinds of churches. But you must understand something. You'll see it strongly as Paul gets into this. You cannot think for a moment that that has any sway with God. It might impress some people. Well, I've been a member of a certain church for 40 years. Who cares? It doesn't matter. What's down deep in the heart? Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what kind of card you have to say that you were a member. What's in the heart? Who do you know? Do you know Christ personally? How is your walk with God? Is it for real? Is it passionate? Is it hot for the things of God? The Corinthian church had all of the right answers, but they were acting differently. And that's a dangerous thing. Obedience to God. Number two, fellowship. We're united by fellowship. He says, and he goes on in verse 10, number one here in verse 10, he says that you all speak the same thing. You ought to circle the word thing. We're going to find out, well, what's the same thing? Paul, what do you want us to say? What do you want us to be thinking, believing, speaking? Speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, no cliques, no little groups. But that you be perfectly joined together. The word perfectly joined together is one word, and it means to be setting the bone back in place. It's a medical term, to set the bone. It implies a bone is broken. That's interesting because the word division means to separate or to break the bone. So look at that again, verse 10. I want you guys to speak the same thing. Why? Because you know what? There's divisions. Your bones, as a church, your bones are broken. Hey, if you ever had a broken bone, I had a broken finger. I never got it fixed. See how crooked it is? I was playing in the snow and broke it. And I figured most of the pain was over, so why would I go to the doctor to have him hurt me more? And I don't do anything with that particular finger, so I left it alone, and it dried all wrong and messed up. It wasn't set right. I've told you before in John's gospel, if there was a sheep, if there was a lamb of the shepherds that was wandering away, listen, God does this. If you're a believer today, if you're not a believer, he will not do this to you. But if you are a believer and you wander away from God, and you have a tendency to keep wandering from God, do you know what he does? He does what every shepherd does to a wandering lamb that he owns. He takes the lamb. Let me pause right there. You've all seen the pictures of the shepherd walking on the hill and he's got the cute little lamb around his neck. You ever seen that picture? Yes. And you go, that's so cute. You know that's a brutal picture. You want to know why? Shepherds don't carry sheep. Unless the shepherd has a reason. The shepherd would take that little lamb and he would put its little wandering hind leg, stretch it out and put it between two rocks. He would take another rock or his rod predominantly. You know the shepherd's staff and the rod? The staff was for gathering. The rod was for beating wolves and wild animals away. And the shepherd would take that rod and boom! And break that little leg. Oh yeah, you go, oh. Better to be a lamb who learns its lesson than a shawarma in a pita. Why? Because the little lamb, now that its legs broke from its wanderings, it has to ride on the back of the shepherd's shoulders. And the little lamb begins to smell the shepherd's, lick the shepherd's neck, know the shepherd's voice, feel the shepherd's pulse, knows everything about the shepherd. You learn everything about your shepherd when you come through hardship, when you come through difficulty, especially if you wander away and you're really a child of God, he'll come after you with a rod and he'll break your leg, so to speak. He might have to break your nose for some of you. And in your recovery process, you know the shepherd better than ever. And that's a very powerful thing to keep in mind. Why? Because when Paul is talking about the bone being set, sometimes the bone is set in such a way that it's not done medically or it's not done professionally. And that little lamb will always limp. You see all the other little lambs way ahead of the shepherd? You'll see one lamb limping behind the shepherd, just staying close to the shepherd. Remember Jacob in the Bible? He was a little stinker. What did God do? God wrestled with him one night and took his hip out. And for the rest of Jacob's life, he limped. He'll do that with us. He'll do that with us. Fellowship, though, is extremely important because without fellowship, we are broken. And Paul says, listen, we are united in fellowship. Speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. By the way, that same thing is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ. That's one thing. The next thing is in verse 5, that you were enriched, that's the second thing, in everything by him in all utterance, that's the third thing, and in all knowledge, that's the fourth thing. Verses 4 and 5, we know what the thing is. The thing is, you've got something to say. You're not just saying something. You've got the word of God to proclaim, church at Corinth. God has blessed you. He's given you all grace. You're his child. And so, keep this in mind. There should be no divisions among you. The Bible says in Psalm 133, verse 1, y'all know it. The psalmist says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is. Yeah, right? For the brethren to dwell together in unity. You guys, unity is hard work. Let's be honest. Hey, those of you who are visiting for the first time, don't listen to me right now. But those of us who are in the family of God, we don't get along. We try. We don't always get along. That's how you can tell we're related. We don't always get along. In a marriage, do you always get along? You have to work at getting along. I think the table should be here. Lisa and I were cleaning the house this week. I think the table should be here. I think it should be over here. Honestly, the answer should be, why should I care? But we get ourselves involved in things that don't matter most of the time. And you think about that in our relationships as a church. Well, you know what? I don't like these screens here. Who cares? The young people put them up. I don't care. How come you don't have a pulpit? You used to have a pulpit. You know what? I didn't like a pulpit because I felt like I was locked behind the pulpit. I want to be out here. You say, well, I don't like it. So I didn't ask you. Love ya. Didn't ask ya. I don't like the separation. I'd rather be sitting down there, to be honest with you, personally. But can't do that, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we will. But it's interesting because Paul uses this word division, and it's much more serious. We get the word schism. You ever heard that word? That's a Greek word. You know Greek. It's schism. It means there's a gap. There's a void. There's a rending of the garment or the breaking of the bone. When you have divisions among you as a church, you break the bone in the body. And think about churches all around the world that have broken bones because somebody just won't back off of an issue or they won't calm down about the color of the carpet or about this thing or that thing, and they'll die on an anthill for something. When the kingdom of God is before us, the church is to be, and how beautiful it is that the brethren dwell together in unity, the church is to be an amazing powerhouse moving in the same direction. And that's a miracle. Let's agree, it's a miracle. I got to tell you, in a church this size, it is amazing because we can make an announcement about reaching some part of the world, and we can make an announcement about saving babies from abortion. We can make the next announcement about encouraging you to run for political office. And a church this size, you know how cool it is? We'll have 25 people for each item, issue. Yes, I'm signing up. And that's fantastic. But listen, each of them have a passion. And that's the body of Christ. The danger is when we become so confident, or I should say arrogant, that we begin to criticize one another's area of passion. Somebody might say, well, we're going to go to the mission field. We're going to go to this part of the world. And somebody else who could care less will say, you know, I don't know why you're doing that. You should join me with the Mexico construction team. Or whatever, or feeding the homeless in L.A. That's your thing. That's how the body comes together. You should celebrate those things rather than attack them. It's very, very important. Thirdly, it's this. We're united on a mission. A united church will have the same Lord in the sense that we are united on a mission. And he says in verse 10, near the end, he says, in the same mind, we're to be together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The mind is this. The word means the same understanding, the same feel. We would say harmony. It's the same thought of mind. Not to create a bunch of robots, but to be thinking in the same vein of thought. How do we do that? Church, listen carefully. It is impossible for this church to accomplish anything for the glory of God unless we have a common mission. And that common mission, first of all, must be to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's to preach the gospel here and to the ends of the earth. And that's, think about that declaration, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 19. Think about that. If you are determined to do that, every one of us in this room says, I will obey God in this, and I'm going to do this very thing. Imagine this. That means that you are going to be concerned for your neighbor, and some of you are going to be concerned about the man in the deepest, darkest jungles of South America. It all accomplishes the same thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a common, collective mission, and we are united on that. How does that happen? Because we have the same Lord. Can someone say amen? It's the same Lord that we follow. More on that in a moment. Paul says to the church at Rome in chapter 12, verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Isn't this great? Think about it. Man, do we need this like never before? Everybody in this room should know enough Bible and get more and more Bible that we should be thinking the same way toward one another. And this is fun. It gets real quiet. Did you know in this church there are murderers who have done their time and they got out? In this room? Right now. How do you know, Pastor? Because I know. There are people in this room with past lives that if you knew, you would run. What's funny is, if they knew about your past life, they would run. The early church was like this. There was a prostitute in one seat and an IRS agent in the other seat. We know this to be a fact. The Bible says that there were tax collectors, publicans, and sinners all in the same church. Think about that. Here's the cool part. We're to look at one another now with Jesus' glasses on. That's how we look at each other. We have more police officers and agents that attend this church than probably most cities have as police officers and agents. And the world that they live in, that's a tough world because you know what? It's like a doctor. Who does a doctor see? Sick people. If you're in law enforcement, who do you see? Lawbreakers, bad guys. In my calling, everybody's marriage is falling apart. In my calling, every parent is saying their kid is not having sex with that other kid. Not my kid. Yeah, well, I got to tell you, she told us last week that you need to know. Not my kid. Oh, yeah. And you begin to think you can get tainted. And it's a very dangerous thing. so that everybody's bad or everybody's messing up or everybody, and as a Christian, you and I are to look at each other in Christ Jesus. We're to look at one another and expect the best, hope for the best, love them, put up with them, endure. Do that love thing on them. That's what he's called us to do, and frankly, that's what he does to us. It's pretty encouraging. But we're on mission, and that mission is to exalt Jesus Christ. Again, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says in Philippians 2:4, he says, let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous statement. Point number two is a united church will share the same vision. That's understandable. If we have the same Lord, we're going to be sharing the same vision. See, what does vision mean? A lot of people talk about vision. Even companies today, they've used that. They've taken it from the church, and they'll ask you, if you go to, you're going to interview by a company, they're going to ask you something like this. What is your mission? Or you ask the company, what is the mission of this company? Where'd they get that from? They got it from the church. They might not use the word mission. They might use the word vision. What is the vision of this corporation? They got that from the church. Why? Because the church is supposed to have vision. But you can't have vision if you have division. No vision, no division. You have division, you ain't going to have any vision. Because you can't look above or beyond other people. You're focused on the problems. And the church at Corinth was focused on the other guy's problem, but nobody would focus on their own problem. You know the old saying, I don't know who said it, but you know, if you point at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back. Well, okay, but there's a lot of truth to that. I have found in my life, if you know someone who points out faults all the time, they got more faults than the faults they're pointing out in people. Have you noticed that? Oh, man. Well, a church united has a shared vision, and the vision is united for him. It's for his glory. Verse 11, for it has been declared, Paul says, it's been declared to me. That's a term, it's been revealed. There's evidence, it's overwhelming. You've been indicted, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. This word is quarrels, arguments, and fighting, bickering.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a study called One Church Under God. It's a look at verses 10 through 17 in chapter 1 of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We call this lesson One Church Under God. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on Thursday's edition of Real Radio. Now, tomorrow and Wednesday, we're going to hear a special message by Pastor Jack called Politics. Why should the Christian care? Obviously, a very timely presentation. As you know, Election Day is just days away now, and here on Real Radio, we've been addressing that to some extent, and the main takeaway is that believers are to vote their worldview. Worldview is key. In fact, elections themselves are battles of worldviews, if you think about it. The Judeo-Christian worldview is that human life is valuable, quite simply because we are created in the image of God. And so Pastor Jack has delivered a message called Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. And here's our offer. A DVD version of Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters is yours for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Now, this is, of course, a time-sensitive matter as the election looms near, if you will. So whether you click or call or write, just be sure to mention it by name. Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And just click the banner that says Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, send your gift, which, by the way, is tax-deductible, to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.